across Wisconsin from Civic Media. This is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlove.
And welcome back to the second hour of Up North News Radio, where we begin with breaking news. Tom from Madison is the winner of our Milwaukee Brewers tickets that we gave away at the end of the last hour for knowing that the Bratwurst has won the most sausage races at American Family Field. There's your breaking news for this morning. The Brat has won 14 races, the Polish 13, the hot dog 9, the Italian 9, and the chorizo coming in at 7. It is Thursday, August 3rd. Nice to have you along with us. This is National IPA Day. I'm trying to think, how can I put this, Aaron, properly? I don't even know if you're an IPA drinker, but for beer drinkers everywhere, the thing that you need to do on this National IPA Day to celebrate it the right way would be to forget what you normally drink, order an IPA, open it up, and pour it down the drain. And
I knew you were going to say that.
That's how you celebrate IPA Day because, well, that's the opinion of one guy who prefers not to drink an entire bucket of hops, you know, condensed into a glass. But other people may have different opinions.
I am not an IPA guy, but I'm not an IPA hater. I think I know moderate opinions are not often had on IPAs. But I think some of them are good. Some of them don't just taste bitter and they actually have flavors, but too many of them do not fit that criteria.
Oh, it's one of those where you can't, even in that you know, split second before you drink it, you right away, you just know, oh, this is not going to go well because the hops are just so overpowering. It's about balance, kids. All right, coming up this hour, the healthy kinds of biker gangs are going to be the subject of Hometown Health with Dr. Kristen Lyerly and her guests because we're not in the 20th century anymore, boys and girls, where every blueprint for every city has to be built around wherever we want to go with our cars. We know that healthier communities depend on having green spaces, having places for pedestrians, and having places for bikes and people who aren't in their automobile. And so we'll learn more about that at the bottom of the hour. And we'll talk to Luke Mathers as well to find out what's coming up on Civic Media news and talk shows throughout the rest of the week and into the weekend. I wanted to once again remind you that the blood donation challenge that's happening statewide called Civic Pints is still going on, goes on through August 25th, because all across the state of Wisconsin, blood banks are facing a severe blood shortage. And so to help out, we're encouraging people to give blood, take a selfie, post it on social media, provide the hashtag Civic Pints. And then when you send in your proof of blood donation, you'll be entered to win Brewers tickets. I'm guessing the Wisconsin State Fair tickets either have been given away or will be very soon. But then there's also all kinds of Civic Media swag that'll be given away. So to get all the details, go to civicmedia.us. That's the website. And right up there at the top of the homepage, you can see the link to take part in the statewide blood donation challenge. I'm going to take a little coffee and cough here, Aaron. I'll be right back.
Yeah, definitely don't sleep on this opportunity. You got to get those free tickets and enjoy these amazing Wisconsin events.
There you go. Very well said. Sorry about that. Still making the recovery, you know, where you sound worse than you feel. You're getting better bit by bit. But now I understand when somebody cancels like a concert or something, and they typically don't just cancel a date. You know, they cancel a whole bunch of dates because some folks, like me, man, when you get sick, it's not a 3-day thing. People talk about that 24-hour virus. I wouldn't mind having one of those one of these times instead of being laid out for a couple of weeks here. Excuse me again. I noticed a new article in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel about a subject that we have focused on quite frequently here already, and it's about the Wisconsin dairy industry, both up north and all across Wisconsin, frankly, all across the country as well, but specific to Wisconsin. The problem with undocumented immigrants who are essential, vital, there would be no Wisconsin dairy industry now without immigrants, but the undocumented ones, which is really pretty much all we have because Republicans in Congress have stalled any kind of serious immigration reform for a generation now, these undocumented immigrants can't legally drive because the Wisconsin legislature several years ago, around 2005, I believe it was, made it that undocumented immigrants could no longer get a driver's license. Well, that maybe made the politicians feel good and all the anti-immigrant people feel good, but without having to take that driving test, without having to prove that you're a safe driver, you're making the roads less safe, or you're making it that other undocumented immigrants are either driving unsafely or not driving and having to rely on others when they have to get kids to school or doctor's appointments or things like that. And so I'm very happy to see this Journal Sentinel article. It's done in partnership with ProPublica. I would highly recommend being a subscriber to the Journal Sentinel, reading more about it, and saying to your legislator, and there are legislators of both parties who understand the need to change this law, that you can call for action at the federal level about immigration. You can understand that immigration laws need to be changed, but we need our roads to be safe. And to do that, we need licensed drivers who don't fear deportation while they're busy, you know, feeding us, working on our farms. We'll be back with our full weatherology forecast and more coming up next. This is Up North News Radio for this Thursday. We'll be back.
Draw me a man that leads me back to you.
We'll get into the maps and redistricting and a new lawsuit that's been filed coming up in just a bit. First off, it is another muggy morning across much of Wisconsin. That's going to change somewhat, but this is we've got another very warm one ahead before some changes for the weekend. And so for that, for weatherology, we go to Jennifer Wojcicki to tell us much more about the forecast all across the state of Wisconsin for this Thursday. Jennifer, good morning.
Good morning. Yeah, and like you said, it's going to be a hot one today. We're looking at a hot and muggy one ahead, upper 80s for most, low 90s around Richland Center through central Wisconsin. Sunny skies across the board, then a blend of clouds and sun develops for Wausau, Wisconsin Rapids over to Oshkosh, with a slight chance for showers and storms in the afternoon hours there. Slight chance for rain for nearly everyone else by the evening hours, but staying dry around Amory and Baldwin. Mid to upper 80s with sunshine expected for Friday, a little cooler towards Lake Michigan, Milwaukee getting into the upper 70s. Saturday, it looks like a slight chance for showers and storms starting to come into the western half of the state in the afternoon hours, then a chance for storms for everyone by the evening. Cloudy skies across the board, mid to low 80s for most, upper 70s around west central Wisconsin. Then on Sunday, decent chance for showers and storms for everyone to round out the weekend. A little below average for this time of the year, though, with highs in the mid 70s to right around about 80.
All right, so get things done earlier on in the weekend if you're able to. Jennifer Wojcicki from Weatherology. Thank you so much, Jennifer. Have a great day.
You too.
All right, and the Brewers, well, what's the right word? Heartbreak, I guess. You had the Brewers up in the middle of the, they were leading in the bottom of the ninth. The Washington Nationals were up in D.C., bases loaded. Soft chopper to third baseman Andrew Monasterio. Throws to try to get the runner out at home, throws wide, allows two runners to come in, and in walk-off fashion, the Washington Nationals beat the Brewers 3-2. So the lowly Nationals take two out of three from the Brewers, and the Brewers go and lose 5 out of 6 on a road trip to Atlanta and Washington, D.C. Brewers are back home now, got to shake it off because they're taking on the Pittsburgh Pirates. So this is a division series for the next four games starting this evening with Adrian Hauser getting the start for the Brewers. Again, you can tune in to News from the Center in Richland Center, 107.7 FM, 1450 AM, or Oshkosh Air Support, 98.3 FM, 1100 AM in the Fox Valley to hear the Milwaukee Brewers. So with Janet Protasiewicz taking over the state Supreme Court seat that had been held by conservative Pat Rogensack, progressives now have a majority on the court. That is, of course, explaining why there is a brand new lawsuit that was filed yesterday by Law Forward Law Forward, the progressive law group, did so by making the point, as has been made often, that by whatever metric you choose, Wisconsin's legislative maps are the most skewed in the country. And I know we got a text question through the Civic Media app where you can't just call the radio show. You can also text the radio show that you're listening to and ask a question. And somebody listening on WRJN texted us, you know, were the previous voting district maps considered fair prior to this most recent redistricting? Who determines what is fair? Are there percentages of different categories of people required in each district to make it fair? And you know, those are all very good questions. And the answer is that the maps that we had from 2011 to 2021, which were the ones written by Republican legislators, which were determined to be the most gerrymandered in the country, were made even more gerrymandered with the maps that we have currently. How do you know that? How do you measure that? Well, there are a few different ways, but one of them is called an efficiency gap. An efficiency gap measures how many votes are wasted, meaning your vote has no chance to affect the outcome because so many members of one party are either packed into a single district, think of like Dane County or the city of Eau Claire, while pockets in other areas are broken up, like the city of Sheboygan, where they drew the line right down one of the main streets and split that city up to put them in different districts. Through packing and cracking, you set it up in a way that, for example, in 2022, according to this article by PBS, Wisconsin Public TV, if you look at the 10 closest assembly races in 2022 that Republicans won, the average margin was about 7 points. In the 10 closest for Democrats, it was 15 points. And in some cases, you have efficiency gaps that could be, again, as high as 17%, meaning you can't just get a few more people to vote one way and flip a district. You'd have to get essentially a 60-40 vote or more to flip a district, which is, you know, pretty close to impossible in most places. There aren't that many independents. But perhaps if that didn't explain it well enough, this one will. The most frequently used measure to explain how skewed the maps are. If you can't divide up a state, of course. A state only has one boundary. And when you look at the state as a whole, of course, you had, you know, Governor Evers winning by, 3 to 4 points. You had Janet Protasiewicz winning by almost 10 points. You've had Democrats winning the vast majority of statewide elections. And in the cumulative statewide vote totals, if you added up all of the legislative races, all 99 assembly seats, all 33 state Senate seats, again, Democrats outnumber Republicans in terms of raw votes statewide. So when 2/3 of the seats are held by Republicans in the Assembly and Senate, or very nearly 2/3, you know the lines are off. If you were drawing those lines from scratch, if you weren't told Democrats or Republicans, if you were just told in a state where one party has a slight majority, but the other party has 2/3 of the seats, you'd say, we should probably rejigger those lines a little bit, don't you think? And yeah, they do. And that's what had happened in every decade prior to 2011, was quite frequently a federal court would be involved, and that federal court would do what was necessary to keep those lines as close to being representative of an entire state. But in 2011, there was no federal court. There was no intervention necessarily because you had, for the first time, Republicans controlling the governorship and the Senate and the Assembly. They drew the maps how they wanted, which was downright diabolical. using all kinds of census data to draw the lines that were just higgledy-piggledy, you know, with no respect for county boundaries the way they're supposed to, no respect for city, you know, municipal boundaries the way they used to, no respect whatsoever for compactness to keep people together. So you get these things that look like, you know, salamanders, from which gerrymanders get their name. You've seen some of these district maps. You know how ridiculous they are. But they stood up because they were drawn by a duly elected legislature. They were duly elected in 2010. Say what you will about it. They took the majority and they drew the maps. The maps were challenged. A conservative-run U.S. Supreme Court refused to get involved. But then what you had after the 2020 census, with a Democrat in the governor's office, the maps still couldn't get to federal court, which has experience at this and has treated the maps, you know, fairly decade after decade after decade. And instead, you had a state Supreme Court controlled by conservatives, a state Supreme Court that 50 years earlier said, we should defer to federal courts. They have the expertise when it comes to drawing these district lines. You had a conservative state Supreme Court that said, oh, no, no, no. No, we are now the experts in drawing these maps. And so the 2011 maps came to them, which were, again, already adjudicated as the most gerrymandered in the country, but survived a court challenge. And they said, okay, for these new maps, the ones that we have right now, before we draw these new maps, you, the legislature, the Republicans in the legislature or anybody else, you have to make the least amount of changes possible. You have to respect the current lines, which is completely made up. Why? Why do you have to respect the current lines when the current lines, you know, from 10 years ago were so wildly gerrymandered and disregarding all of the usual standards for drawing these districts? But that was the standard the conservative state Supreme Court insisted on. And conservatives at the U.S. Supreme Court helped uphold it. Well, now, with a progressive control of the state Supreme Court, this new lawsuit is going to be challenging the maps on different grounds. I would imagine, though I haven't read through the entire filing yet, that it's going to be grounded more in the state constitution and its protection of voter rights and its call for districts to, you know, be respective of existing municipal and county boundaries and to be compact so that voters stay together. I would expect that a liberal state Supreme Court would look at that and say, we should go back to the normal way that districts were drawn up, and that it will lead to what we would all consider a normal map, where in many of the districts, you don't know if the Democrat is going to win or the Republican is going to win because they're drawn fairly. You're not packing all of one party into a group. You're not cracking members of one party into two groups so you could dilute their effectiveness. So when you hear people saying, oh, this radical new progressive Supreme Court, I again say there's nothing radical about returning to normal. There's nothing radical about getting away from more than a decade of extremism. And the numbers don't lie that on issue after issue after issue, from abortion rights to gun safety, to legal marijuana, to fair maps. There are so many issues where when Wisconsinites have been polled over and over and over again, they favor these things that a legislature hasn't been passing. So the legislature has proven itself to be an obstacle to the will of the Wisconsin voters, which is, you know, that's not a reason why a court would rule that way. But it is a reason why you and I can see why these lines are skewed, why they're rigged, why they need to be fixed. And if nothing else, it overcomes the arrogance of the past decade of Republican leaders saying, well, Wisconsin votes are different than Madison and Milwaukee votes. We're all Wisconsinites. It's one Wisconsinite, one vote. Not half a vote if you're in a city and a full vote if you're in a rural area. If you look at an entire state, if you consider us all to be Wisconsinites, then you want a map that's fair to all Wisconsinites wherever we live so that we have the case of Wisconsinites choosing their leaders and not leaders choosing their voters. We'll be back with Hometown Health coming up right after this. You're Up North.
Bicycle, bicycle, bicycle.
I want to ride my
bicycle, bicycle, bicycle.
I want to ride my bicycle. I want to ride my bicycle.
If by any chance you follow Dr. Kristen Lyerly on social media, you know roughly 50% of the photos in there feature her biking someplace. Often when she's working in other places, she'll explore them. I wouldn't be surprised if one of these days she doesn't ride her bicycle from Green Bay to Bemidji to go work out there.
I would.
I know you would. I mean, you're going to get the nickname Iron Butt if this thing keeps up here. So.
I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing.
I don't know. Well, they got Iron Man, so I'm guessing it's a compliment, but what do I know? This is Hometown Health, our Thursday segment, where Dr. Lyerly brings on guests to talk about different ways where an entire community's health can benefit. And there is no doubt that bicycling more could be a part of that. And look, while there's a role for every form of transportation, including the new e-bikes that are out there, we're talking about actual pedal power, people having to work and burn off some calories, but also reduce emissions, make the community a little easier place to breathe. And so, Kristen, good morning. Tell us more about it and about our guests.
Well, anyone who is involved in the bicycling community, especially in northeastern Wisconsin, will recognize the names Tracy and Peter Flukey. They are quite literally everywhere, usually on a tandem bicycle, and they're always encouraging people to get outside, be safe, and have fun. So it is my great joy to welcome some of my favorite community builders, Tracy and Peter Flukey.
Well, nice to have you here, folks.
Thank you very much.
Now, before we jump in and talk
Kristen, you want to kick us off with the questioning?
I do. Well, before we start talking about We Bike, which is the organization that they've created, I want to hear a little bit from both of you about how you became such fixtures in Wisconsin's bicycling community. I mean, this didn't just happen overnight.
Somebody commented to me not too long ago, they said, you're the bicycling power couple in northeastern Wisconsin. And I had to laugh, but when I tried to think about another couple that would be identified that way, I had to be honest and say I couldn't actually think of anybody else.
Mm-hmm. It's true.
Yeah, we moved here in 1993 from Minneapolis. And when we got here, we're like, wow, there aren't many bicycle facilities or bicycle lanes or bike paths in the area. And it was something that we felt very strongly about. So all the years that we've been here, we've really worked through our volunteerism and our work that we do, whether it's through our small business or through all the municipal government work I've done for the last 30 years, to further that and try to make communities more bicycle and pedestrian friendly.
We have a sense where the, you know, I always say pendulums, you know, swing, and we had a pendulum that swung toward the automobile, you know, increasingly throughout, you know, decades of urban planning and as suburbia grew and everything else. And you would hear undertones of, oh, hey, wait, you know, there should be more places for bike lanes and for pedestrians and whatnot. It has taken quite a while, but you most definitely now see the changes. Why is that that you see it's not just, oh, it's just Tracy and Peter and it's just, you know, Kristen and Craig on their bikes, but that an entire community sees the value in having places to ride and walk?
You know, we used to joke when we moved to northeastern Wisconsin that if we saw somebody on a bicycle, it was almost guaranteed it was somebody that we knew. I mean, there were literally that few people riding. But I think to answer your question, that walking and bicycling are the most basic forms of transportation. A third of our population can't drive, right? They're either too young or disabled in some manner or simply choose not to. And to have a transportation system that completely ignores, you know, the most basic mode, ultimately is destined to fail. And I think we're self-correcting as much as anything else.
And taking advantage of the time as we're looking at what's happening in the world and people are starting to pay more attention to climate change and our health and how can we get that twofer? Well, ride your bike to work on a nice day if you can, instead of taking your car. But in order to do that, you have to have a safe pathway. And that's where one of the places where We Bike, et cetera, comes in. So tell us a little bit about We Bike, et cetera.
So We Bike really came out of my vision or understanding that we needed to make it easier and safer for people to walk and bike. I've got a parks and recreation background. So that's the health, the fitness, the environmental part of it. But then I was also a police officer and a bike cop for a lot of years. And that's the more pragmatic public safety part of it. So had a unique set of skills that I could put together because both of those, you know, sides of the equation need each other, right? People want to walk and bike, but they need safe places. Mm-hmm. So our company basically works with engineering, education, and enforcement for walking, biking, and healthy communities. So it's really the healthy community that we're shooting for, but we do it, you know, using our pedestrian and bicycle eyes on how to get there.
You mean that these bike paths don't just appear out of nowhere? They require a lot of planning and building and working together and community building?
Absolutely, they do. When we first got here, they were just starting to work on the Fox River Trail. And that has been, that was a battle for many, many years. Something new to the area, people were afraid of having that in their backyard or near their neighborhood. After many, many months of meeting, it came to be. And right now, the Fox River Trail is the most popular trail in the state of Wisconsin, having over 3 million visitors since it was put in 2001. So people are getting used to it. Now they're more demanding those types of facilities. The other part of it, I think, is people are looking, like Kristen said, looking at being able to get to work by bike, being able to get to the grocery store by bike. It's something that people are thinking of more and they want to do. So we have to look at our communities and build them in a manner that people can easily and in a fun manner get to where they want to go.
You also have, I think, part of what laid the groundwork for this is, again, when we talk about pendulums and transitions, the whole rails to trails concept that as you know, railroads really shrank in usage throughout the from the 70s, you know, through the early part of the 21st century, you finally had more of those, you know, rail beds being converted, like just down the street here. The old Abe Trail, you know, were train tracks that cut through the farm field right over here. And that helped connect communities. So you're not just talking about healthy individual communities, but now you can actually get from one place or another. I can go the 16 miles up to Cornell if I want now, easier than trying to go, you know, ride your bike on a county highway.
Yeah, I think a lot of what you're talking about is that bicycles can be used for both recreation and transportation. And sometimes we split up those two things. You know, it's like, well, was my ride over to the post office that I enjoyed and then stopped and got coffee afterwards, was that a recreation or a transportation trip? And do we even ask that about people when they're driving their car? Are you driving your car for recreation or transportation today? It's a silly question, actually. It's just people wanting to move to get to where they want to go to live their best life possible.
Mm-hmm. Hey, Tracy, I really appreciated that you talked a little bit about the Fox River Trail, which is one of my very favorite trails. I love to get out there, see people walking and biking and skating. And I appreciate that you said it was hard at first to get people to buy into it. And now it's the most popular state trail. That's got to feel really satisfying. I'm wondering, having built upon that and all of the work that you are doing here now, what's your vision for the future? You've done so much, but where do we go from here?
You know, one of the things that we're working on right now, specific to the Fox River Trail, is we have a capital campaign going on. And I'm actually now the president of the Friends of the Fox River Trail. Our campaign is going well. We almost have met our goal. And the trail will be resurfaced on the northern end, and then pavement will be added all the way to Greenleaf. expanding that use, allowing people to go that much further. I think a lot of people will turn where it turns to gravel because they're not comfortable on gravel. So that's just one example of how this community has embraced bicycle and pedestrian facilities. There's many, many more. I work for the Village of Ashwaubenon. I'm a trustee right now with the village. And some of the things we've been doing since I became a trustee is we've now require sidewalks on both sides of the road in new subdivisions. We also started to require sidewalks on business development and also their requirement to put in a bike rack in their development. So we've been making some strides. We have more to go. And Green Bay also has been doing some great things for bicyclists in the area and incorporating that into their design. But there's always room for improvement. And we definitely like to be involved with that and add our expertise and help the community and the greater Green Bay area move forward.
And if you'd like to learn more about that, you can go to Friends, FRT, for Friends of the Fox River Trail.org, and learn more about that. Kristen, let me start this next one with you as a, you know, as a physician in talking about, you know, the health benefits that come with this. Part of it is that, you know, so many more people are retiring earlier than ever before. So, I mean, I honestly cannot envision my grandparents, you know, bicycling back when they, you know, because they were in their 70s and they'd been worked all their life and they really just were not, you know, that was not their mode of transportation. It was all cars. But mm-hmm. now you have people retiring and even their mid to late 50s. And so, yeah, there's going to be more people who, you know, in that early retirement should be keeping themselves healthy and should consider, like you said, that run to the post office or whatever by bike rather than car.
And they have to have a safe path to do it. And they have to have a safe vehicle to do it. And thanks to technology in cycling, whether it's a tricycle, so it's a more stable bicycle for someone who doesn't feel stable on two wheels, or a fat tire bike like mine, or an electric bike. If you need a little bit of a boost, an electric bike is a great tool to be able to get from point A to point B. So there are lots of different technologies there, depending on what your needs are, depending on where you live and how you're going to use your bike. 100%, get out, bike, walk, skate, whatever it is. If you can do it using your own power instead of your vehicle, not only does that benefit the climate, but it benefits you psychologically and physically.
I'm guessing you'd agree with these things, Tracy and Peter?
Oh, absolutely. And I think part of the whole health part of it too is making sure people are safe out there when they're doing it. And not only having good places for them to ride, but them having the knowledge of where to ride and what to do, especially with children and seniors, because they're the most vulnerable out there. So having some education, and a lot of the nonprofits in the area are trying to educate people on how to bike properly and move through the environment safely.
You know, there's another thing that we've been working with too. We have, you know, police officers out there who are typically trained to enforce laws for motorists to keep other motorists safe. But pedestrians and bicyclists are traffic as well. And so we've been doing training with them over the years. I've been training police officers for 30 years to help them understand how bicycle and pedestrian crashes happen, which laws to enforce, and that, yeah, that's actually part of their job. And it's just a lack of training that really gets us to that endpoint.
Yeah, you bet. And this is the season when bicyclists are out. They're getting their exercise. They're seeing each other. I saw you guys on Libel and Baird Street, just, you know, trucking down on your tandem. And you're so easy to pick out. It's just such a joy to see you there representing health and well-being in the community. What are some of your favorite events or favorite places to bike in northeastern Wisconsin or even greater Wisconsin?
So first things first, if you live here and you experience this day in and day out, you don't know how lucky you are. We've had the privilege of bicycling all over the country. And every single time we get home, I just say to myself, I can't believe that we get to ride here. We live over on the west side, and we'll head out to Oneida on a fairly regular basis, partially because the winds are prevailing out of the west.
Right. But
5 minutes after we're on our bike, we'll see one or two cars and, you know, in an hour ride. So literally anywhere. It's more to me of some of those collectors and arterials that we have that have been designed for motor vehicles that are prohibiting us from getting to the majority of the area, which is really great to bike. And we need to, you know, focus on those things. So I tend to think of it as all very, very good. It's easier to look at the places where we need to do some work to fix those things so that we can make those connections. We don't think about it being hard to get someplace on our car, but we think about it being difficult to get places on our bike all the time.
Very good. Tracy and Peter, thank you so much. It was great to meet you and learn more about WeBike, et cetera. So look for them on Facebook and look up for the Fox River Trail as well. Try to help them out. Kristen, you want to hang around and talk to Mr. Mathers with us?
I would love to, and I'll see you on the road, friends.
That's right.
Thank you. Take care.
Thanks again, Tracy and Peter. We will be back to wrap up the show right after this. You're up north.
I want to ride my bicycle.
Definitely sounds like Luke recognizes whatever Aaron has chosen for his walk-up music today. What do you got for us, Mr. Zommers?
Well, Luke, why don't you share?
Okay, Luke.
This is Sure, I believe.
Yep, just a band that I know Luke likes to pick music from.
Oh, yeah. I didn't know if there was a specific reason for that tune to be picked, but Sure, big fan of them. They do the intro song for Love It or Leave It, which is one of my favorite podcasts. They do that over at Crooked Media. John Lovett was speechwriter for Obama and Hillary Clinton. So Sure does the intro. And for a really long time, I'd always listen. Oh, the music done by Sure. And I was like, oh, I should check them out because it sounds good. Like, it's a catchy little tune that they do for the podcast. And then stumbled upon one of their albums and have just been in love ever since.
And so while the Lovett folks probably paid them big bucks for the theme, you're just appropriating stuff and grabbing off the work they've already done to make your show sound good.
That's the joke.
And we salute you for that.
That's the joke that John likes to make all the time, is that he got them right before they got real big. So I think he got it for a pretty reasonable deal when it came to the compensation they receive for that intro music. But I just use their regular stuff, but I listen often to Sure. And so, yeah, Aaron's got that right. That is a good walk-up song.
All right. Well, before we get into what's coming up on Town Call and elsewhere on Civic Media stations, I was kind of hoping we could maybe, do a group project on this Packers promo. So I'm going to read a little something and then any one of you can just like react or try to add what you would want the next sentence to be. Okay. Autumn Sundays in Wisconsin are a sacred tradition. And that of course would include your Green Bay Packers.
Include?
No,
it
this isn't
dominated by your Green Bay Packers.
Okay, let me start again. Sundays in Wisconsin are dominated by the Green Bay Packers, and you can be part of it as Civic Media's WRJN in Racine, Kenosha will broadcast every game all season long. Luke Mathers, why wouldn't you want to be a part of this?
Exactly. So you can not only listen to the Packers on WRJN, Racine, and Kenosha, one of the newest stations in the Civic Media Network, but you can also sponsor it. So if you are a business and you want to sponsor the coverage for the Green Bay Packers, this is your opportunity. The Civic Media sales team is working on selling them right now.
We're crowdsourcing this, and Aaron's adding the sound effects. So Kristen, give them that phone number. I didn't give her the phone number. 608-819-8255. That's 608-819-8255. Appointments are filling fast with a member of the Civic Media team to help your small business get on Packers games, Badgers games, local high school sports broadcasts, and more. 608-819-8255. Because, Kristen, when it comes to Autumn Sundays in Wisconsin, it's all about
the Green Bay Packers.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, there you go. So just take that, snip that up, edit it into 30 seconds. I'm sure we're probably going to win awards for that promo that we just did right there. All righty. Town Call, weekdays, 12:15 to 1 o'clock. How's that going?
It's going phenomenally. Will and I having a real fun time, 12:15 to 1 every Monday through Friday. We're excited on Thursdays, every other Thursday, but we get a double dose, two Thursdays in a row with office hours for Professor John Shelton, a professor at UW Green Bay. He'll be joining us on the air today, and it's always a great opportunity. A Town Call, we want to be the forum that listeners can call in and participate. So if you've got a question for Professor John Shelton, we welcome you to call in to today's show. You can use the standard Civic Media call-in number,
844-967-2789.
I know that one, but I was about to give the sales one instead that you just provided, Pat, because I had it up for in front of me for the screen there. And I was like, wow, this is the first time that's ever happened. But yes, 844-967-2789.
Sorry, I missed my cue. There you go. Put it up on screen there for
there you.
For folks watching on Facebook and other social media. Then there's always a public service announcement. Do we have an edition today on As Goes Wisconsin, along with Kristen Bry and Dr. Larley?
We don't, because Kristen's on vacation.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. Well, so next week.
There's some twins celebrating birthdays, so Kristen is gone.
Okay. All right.
Yes.
Well, here, we'll turn it over to you. Here's Kristen Lyerly, 30 seconds of a public service announcement. Give us something about women's health off the top of your head and go.
I don't want to talk about it. I want to talk about the great weekend that I have in store in Green Bay.
Okay. Well,
Hops on the Hill tonight at Heritage Hill State Park. If you haven't been to Heritage Hill, it's fantastic. Tomorrow night, Pat McCurdy at the City Deck. You guys, Pat McCurdy. You know Pat McCurdy. Who doesn't know Pat McCurdy? He's so much fun. So we're going to do that. McCurdy. We've got Bike to the Beat on Saturday, highlighting all of the amazing music that's happening across Appleton and all these different venues. It's going to be just an absolutely fantastic weekend and family fun night Saturday night in Green Bay. I mean, come to Northeast Wisconsin. This is a time of year that we just really love being here.
See, I knew if we gave her 30 seconds uninterrupted, it would be for good. Either for women's health or for, you know, Northeast Wisconsin tourism, one way or the other.
Uh-huh.
Is there a Cripes cast this weekend with Charlie Barron's a new one?
There sure is. We have Tracy Hames, Executive Director of the Wisconsin Wetlands Association. And I got to give this one a listen, edit it up ahead of time this time. And it is very informative. And not at all dry. Like, he's an amazing speaker. I think he said probably like 10 times, and I edited out 8 of them. and it really emphasizes how important wetlands are to everybody.
I love how your comments, it's not dry. It's not a dry podcast. It's about wetlands.
You know what?
Nice.
But I'm Ching.
Yep.
Oh, come on, Aaron. You didn't even know it. You walked right into that one.
I did walk right into that one. I legitimately had no pun intended there.
There you go. And across the Civic Media Network on WISS Oshkosh Air Support and WRCE News from the Center, the Brewers return home, having a pretty rough go on the road these last two series. So looking to turn the tide, the Pittsburgh Pirates come into town tonight. And then they got Colorado early next week as well. So hopefully the Brewers can take care of business against Pittsburgh and Colorado on these next two home stands.
Sounds like everybody's got some good plans ahead. Mine involves a hammock because after a week and a half with kids and grandkids and getting sick and then 6 days on the road, got home last night. I am ready for a big old pile of nothing. And I paused to say that just to laugh because it never works out that way. There will always be, my wife laughs at me because she says, you know, I once put up a whiteboard near the door heading into the garage. And she always tells people, my poor husband, he probably thought that was going to be for like love notes or something. And it's where I leave my to-do list. And so there's always a list on there. So I will pick up on that. But you know what's going on that list? Hammock, people. Hammock time.
I'd like to suggest taking down the whiteboard.
No, you can make funny pictures on there and things.
Ooh. Yeah. Do tell.
Don't make it something that's... I'm done with it.
Oh, he jumped off!
No, I meant to hit... Never mind. I'm done. We're talking to you people next week. Have a great day. We'll see you tomorrow.